Welcome to Career Tours. This week, Daily Non-Negotiables, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, what are daily non-negotiables? What should my daily non-negotiables be? And how do I manage my non-negotiables? Get a good start to the new year by attending a Manager Tools Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, or Effective Hiring Manager conference. We carefully chose the best places to be in January for our conferences to kick off the new year. Seattle, Austin, and Ottawa. Rain, sunshine, and snow. No matter your weather preference, we have it for you. There's probably nothing on your calendar yet for January, and training is always an inspiring way to start the new year. So check training off your list by going to the Manager Tools website and registering now. Okay, so last week we talked about what the list is and what daily non-negotiables are and how you decide what something is and how to manage the checklist. And this week we're going to talk about what we're actually putting on that checklist. So some ideas, you've probably thought about it over the last week and thought of some ideas of your own, but here's some more. So these are the things we recommend everybody has on their list because they're non-negotiables for every job we can think of everywhere.
Yeah. And we'll talk about ideas for specific examples that are tailored to just your job. But these are the things that are, we think, universal, right? So first being, check your calendar for today and for the next 5 days. And checking your calendar, we mean actually paying attention, not just glancing at your calendar to see how much free time there is versus how much busy time there is. So this allows you to accomplish three things. First, you know what meetings you have today that you're supposed to be prepared for. You have an idea of what your day looks like and what changes might have happened since the last time you focused on it. You can see where breaks are, where you can fit in other tasks, and where you might, some of you are actually eating lunch, and you might have an idea after looking at your day when you might be able to accomplish that nourishing task.
Amazing. And the other thing, looking forward through the next 5 days allows you to do sort of the same thing for the next 5 days of looking at the landscape and looking at the meetings you have so that you can prepare, because some meetings take more than 5 minutes to prepare for. But it also allows you to spot potential issues. So look for meetings and travel that might be in the wrong time zone. Mm-hmm. Never happened to me, obviously, but it does happen sometimes. Look for meetings that might run long and interfere with later meetings. Look for places where you're double booked, especially at the end of the day where you've thought, oh, it's all right, I can get out and go to the gym, or I'll go to an appointment at 6. And then you look at it and your last meeting finishes at 5:30 and it's somebody that talks a lot and you think, you're not actually double booked, but it's going to be really tight and you might want to change one or other of those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know that it never happens to you, but there have been a few times where if I'm traveling, I'm on the road and I'm in a different time zone and I'm on a call with someone and I have to schedule a follow-up meeting or something like that, I'll put it in my calendar and I either forget that I hadn't updated the time zone I was in on my calendar or I did and didn't realize it or something, and I'll get back to the time zone I live in Pacific, and I'll look at it and I'll go, wait a minute, that's not right.
That doesn't seem right.
That doesn't look right. But I'm catching it 3 or 4 days ahead of time, which is so much better than, hey, where are you? Yeah. Are you coming to this thing?
Oh, I hate that moment. You can also look for things that you don't need to do on your calendar. Maybe there's a recurring meeting that's not happening this week or not happening at all anymore that you can take off. Maybe there's something you look at and you think, oh, that person's on vacation this week, so I'm not doing that. You know? And look for places you can get your important work done and protect those spaces. So maybe when you look at it, you can see 5 days ahead. In 4 days' time, I've got a morning and nobody's scheduled anything. Okay, I'm going to block that off for something that I want to do that takes a lot of thinking time.
Absolutely. What this comes down to is looking at your calendar on a regular basis puts you in control of your calendar rather than your calendar controlling you. Invitations will come in and you'll have a time to decide whether to accept, whether it's a good use of your time, whether you could delegate that. You know, maybe that's an opportunity for one of your directs to learn something new. Instead of just blindly clicking accept and thinking, I'll worry about it later.
Which is what we do when we're busy. We just, yes, 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 yes. It's in a week. I don't need to think about it right now, right? And this task, looking at your calendar, even paying attention to your calendar like this, takes less than 5 minutes. And it has all of those benefits. It really does have a significant effect on your productivity if you do it daily.
Our next point is check email 3 times per day. If you've listened to Manager Tools or Career Tools, you've probably heard us say our recommendation is to check email 3 times a day. We have a podcast in the ecosystem that is email 3 times a day. And that means that you're only processing, reading, answering, and writing email during 3 pre-scheduled times each workday: early in the morning, middle of the day, and near the time when you go home. This is the way that you don't live in your inbox.
Your job is not to do email.
Your
job is to be a project manager or a software developer or a manufacturing engineer or something. Your job is not to do email.
Yeah, I think of it as you're doing email intentionally.
Yes.
Right? It's not just I'm always doing email, or I'm doing email when things come up or when I get a ding on my phone.
Again, it's like the calendar thing. Instead of being driven by the invitations, you're managing your calendar. This is, instead of being driven by the emails and what's coming in at any one moment, you're managing your time, your energy, your attention.
Exactly. So that means if it's not one of your scheduled times to do mail, you don't open mail on your laptop or your desktop. And ideally, you're not even trying to process mail on your mobile device. And we understand that there are things that, I don't know, maybe your specific situation is, you know, you're in a high pressure sales environment and you got to know by the minute when that customer gets back to you to commit to a contract or something like that. We realize that there are outliers out there, but far too many people, and Wendy, you've done this for a lot longer than I have, but in my experience, it's been far too many people that I talk to think they're the exception when they're not. They're really the rule.
Yeah, it's amazing. And this is possible. It is possible to do your email 3 times a day in less than 30 minutes or in less than 20 minutes if you don't do the work that's in the email at this time. So if a task will take less than 2 minutes, you can do it. That's what David Allen says. If it says, you know, all you have to do is reply, yes, I'll come to the meeting, then do that. If the task in the email is something that will take more than 2 minutes, it goes on your task list, and then you can evaluate it against all of the other things you have to do, when they're due and how important they are, instead of looking at it in isolation and putting it ahead of things potentially that doesn't deserve to be ahead of.
Right, exactly. And if you want to be a nerd like me, then you memorize a few keyboard shortcuts that help you navigate through your inbox really, really quickly. If you use Gmail, really easy shortcuts. R is reply, A is reply all. You can set up labels and just click L and then type in the label and hit enter, and it labels it for you. That's how I process my inbox. Every email client has that stuff. Yes. So there's lots of ways to find efficiencies.
Yeah. And the important, I guess, extra point to this is you don't process email outside of these times. Mm-hmm. That's when you're doing the important work, the thinking work, the thing that you're being paid to do. You're doing your work, your actual work, with your full concentration, instead of having half your mind on your work and half the mind on what's coming to my email. It means that you end up more actively communicating. So more proactively communicating, which means you get less email because you know, part of the reason you get that I'm just following up on email is because somebody asked for something, you didn't do it, and so they asked for it again. Whereas if you had put that task on your task list, kept your email to less than 90 minutes in the day, and had an hour to do the tasks, you would have done that task and replied and sent it back to them and not got the, as per my last email, email.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how actually doing your work stops you getting emails. It's like a revelation.
I think of it as, this. People don't even drive manual transmissions anymore, but I think of this as you're spending less time in neutral, right?
Yes.
This allows you to go from first to second to third to fourth and do the work that you need to do without this limbo of just idling in neutral in your inbox.
So talking of inboxes, the next thing on the checklist is check your inboxes, because inboxes seem to have multiplied in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have one physical inbox in one location. When I was first at work, there wasn't email. Like, I'm that old. And there wasn't, I think you could leave a voicemail, but there weren't no mobile phones. You got a letter in the mail in the morning or the phone rang. Those were the only two options. And in the morning, it was more expensive to call. So in the morning, you didn't get any phone calls. In the afternoon, you got phone calls. So you knew you did the important stuff in the morning. But now we have email and multiple email addresses at that. We have IM and texts and voicemails and ticket queues and project management apps and dozens of other systems sending us messages and notifications and alerts. And just thinking about this, I counted up my work-related inboxes and I came to 10 before I'd even, you know, like all the obvious ones came to 10. I'm sure there's another 15 that I didn't think of, but it was easy to get to 10. And if you don't have a systemic way or a systematic way of checking these inboxes, one of them will overflow and cause a fire. Like, you need to move the work. Even if all you could do is go to, I don't know, some queue that's confirming that the system did what it was supposed to do. Yes, the system ran last night.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all you do is delete that message, it's the act of deleting it means, okay, I don't need to worry about that. I'm moving on. You know, I did this morning to somebody. I was supposed to be in a Zoom meeting. It was 3 or 4 minutes past. They weren't there. And I thought, I don't know if I'm in the right room or not. So I sent a Slack. And after 10 minutes, it wasn't answered. And so I sent a text message thinking, well, maybe notifications aren't on Slack, so I'll send a text message. So now that person's got two messages about the same thing. They've got twice as much work to delete one of them and reply to the other than they had if this person had a good reason for being stuck somewhere. But, you know, if that's you and it's an unnecessary follow-up, you're creating work for yourself by not being efficient and checking those inboxes.
Absolutely. And I would just add to this, I highly recommend being relentless about keeping junk out of your inboxes.
Oh,
unsubscribe.
For sure.
I know we've talked about this on Cast before, but unsubscribe, you know, use most clients have, you know, a junk button that says, you know, this is trash and I don't want any more of this and all of that. Just do what you can to limit the potential for some of these inboxes to just absolutely spiral out of control. And you get all this junk that then, of course, you start emergency scanning, which is the alternative to doing email 3 times a day and doing it the right way. Is you start emergency scanning because you're like, there's too much crap in here.
Yeah.
And I know there's something important in here. Well, part of that is just have less crap in there by being
absolutely
a little more diligent.
Unsubscribe. Yeah. Because like the systems, you sign up for a system because, you know, some services or software, because you have to, because you need it for your job. And then they start sending you messages like, are you satisfied? It doesn't matter whether I'm satisfied. Someone told me to sign up for it. And then here's some tricks for using and thing. And, you know, you can get an email a day from some of the systems. And it's just creating clutter, basically.
It's entirely clutter. I've gotten over this. It took me a little while, but I know people who are still like this. They're like, I still kind of want to have this just in case I want to look at it or whatever. And if that's the case, take the extra couple minutes, create a folder and a rule that says everything from, you know, I don't know, text expander. I'm just, you know, I like looking at those little things, but I don't really want them in my inbox. So I like the tips and tricks, but I want them when I want them. So what I'm going to do is just create a folder, have all of them go into that folder, and then create a rule for that folder that says anything older than 3 months is automatically deleted, or anything bigger than 10 messages, you know, the 11th one gets deleted. Something like that, and then have it separate so you can go to it, but it's not part of your, you know, three times a day you're going through and looking at that email. If you really want to see it, it's there. You can see it.
If you have 15 people or more to train, then it's much more cost effective for us to come to you. A manager tools training has something for everyone. Whether your team member is an aspiring manager, a new manager, an experienced manager, or a senior manager, everybody gets something out of the effective manager training. Whether it's a new tool or a technique or a different way of looking at things, even if it's just hearing from other people what their experience of management is like in your company, there's something in it for everyone. So email Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. She'll be happy to work out the best way for us to deliver training to you. Okay, so next up, check your task list. It's kind of obvious, right? But moving tasks from your email and your other inboxes and putting them on your task list is not at all helpful if you don't actually check the list and review it. And this daily check is not a full review. If you've read Getting Things Done, I think a full review takes half an hour to 45 minutes at the end of the week.
Yeah,
but this is a quick check to make sure that the task you added actually made it onto the task list. Because if you're doing this daily and you look at the task list on Tuesday and you think, wait a minute, didn't somebody ask me about Chicago yesterday? And I don't see a task for Chicago. Because it's only 24 hours, you're likely to be able to see if there's one missing. If you wait a week, you'll never remember. Mm-mm. So that's one. Make sure that they've all got due dates or a tag or whatever filtering mechanism that you use. Just make sure they all got there. And it's easy when you're working quickly to forget that the task needs a due date, or you do whatever quick input there is for your task list and it asks for a due date and you think, I can't think of a due date right now, so I'll just, you know, press enter and it'll go onto the task list. But you do need to then make sure, if you sort your task by due date, that it has a due date. Otherwise, it will never come to the top and remind you that you need to do it.
Absolutely. There's another thing that quick review does. We talked about this a little bit. There's some psychology to this. That quick review often gives you a little bit of dopamine, gives you that quick hit of dopamine. And as you realize that several things probably got done without you even checking them off.
Yes.
Right?
There's nothing like work being done when I don't notice.
It's so good. Right? Or some of them, maybe it didn't get done, but now because something else evolved and now it's obsolete, you're like, wow, I'm done without even having to do anything. It's so great.
Imagine the start to your day, coffee, and discovering there's stuff on your task list you've already done. That's like the best start to a morning ever.
It's the best. And I think the last thing we got to talk about is that quick review helps you prioritize the tasks that are due today. So if you do sort by due date, and you can look at everything that's due today, and we don't need to look, you know, 6 months from now, or even a month from now, we're just looking at today. We're looking to make sure that what's here today, and then are the subsequent days, do those make sense, right? We're just doing a quick review. You know, we're not building the yellow brick road to Oz. We're just looking at this first row of yellow bricks. And yeah, it's just helpful to make sure it's accurate, and then ask, of course, based on what's due today, what do I need to do first? And that's always really helpful. And if you don't have anything due today, kudos to you. And yeah. And then you can say, okay, well, what's due tomorrow? And get ahead and start looking again, not several weeks from now, but just tomorrow or the next day.
Next up, clean your desk. until now, we've been talking as if the checklist exists in the morning, which most of those tasks you do have to do in the morning. I guess you don't have to check voicemail in the morning, but you have to do it once a day, but it doesn't need to be morning. But there's an implication that most of these are morning tasks. But actually, the checklist can have midday things. It could have end of day things. It could have things I have to do by 11 o'clock on it. It could be anything. But one of the end of day tasks that we recommend everybody has on their checklist is clean your desk before you go home, or if you're at home, clean your desk before you go to another space in your house, because it's a nice habit that means that you start every day clean and fresh. It takes less than 5 minutes to put the trash away, just get the surface clean, put the plates back in. I don't know about you, but I end up with at least 3 mugs at the end of the day on my desk. So taking those back to the kitchen, put everything back where it belongs. And when I last worked in a really big building, if your desk wasn't clear, it didn't get cleaned. And so if the people that had messy desks, it got messier and dirty because it was never cleaned, whereas tidy desks were always clean. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because you come into calm in the morning rather than adding to the chaos.
Absolutely. It's such a, just that feeling of starting fresh, starting with a clean slate. Yeah. It's funny because I never thought of this as on my list, but now I work from home and I've let it slip a little bit. I'm not as good at keeping my desk clean at home as I was in the office. And I remember I was so good at keeping my desk clean that my boss actually asked me once or twice, "Are you planning on leaving, or are you like, is there something you should tell me?" And I was like, "No, what do you mean?" And she was like, "Well, your desk is clean." And I was like, "Yeah, I try to keep my desk clean." She's like, it's almost like you haven't even moved in yet. Like, you've been here for 6 months. And I'm like, no, I'm here. Everything's just put away where it's supposed to be.
and on the other hand, as we said, these are hygiene factors. They don't get you ahead, but they provide a negative. I used to work with somebody and our boss was driven nuts by the fact that she always had a dirty cup on her desk, and she worked part-time. So Wednesday night she would leave it, and then on Monday, and it was empty. It didn't go moldy or anything. It wasn't that. It was just it was just not clean. And my boss used to walk in and be absolutely incensed by it for no reason. It was one of those things that got on her nerves. And when she was talking about that person and something went wrong, it would be, "This happened, she didn't do it right, blah, 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 and the cup is on her desk still."
Oh, yeah.
You know? It was just the "and." "And you always, you know, leave the toothpaste off the toothpaste, the cap off the toothpaste." It's that niggle thing.
Yes. Oh, quick side note, just for anyone listening with kids, I found the miracle thing with toothpaste. And I only know this because other parents that I've talked to have issues with kids. So I'm going to give you the key. There's these caps that you can find on Amazon that self-close. If your kids are bad about putting the cap back on the toothpaste and then you end up with toothpaste everywhere, self-closing caps. I don't recommend the little tabs that you can have them chew on and get rid of the whole toothpaste altogether. That didn't work for us. Self-closing caps. Change your life.
I have those too, and I'm not a kid.
Yeah, they're helpful.
And there are no kids in my house.
Yes. So,
and while you're cleaning up your computer desktop, move any files that you've downloaded onto the desktop or into the downloads folder to where they belong, or trash them and then empty your trash. Move anything where you said, "I'll do that in a bit," move it to where it belongs. It's like starting with a clean desk. There's nothing like starting with a clean desktop.
Yes.
It's just, unless you do it every day, you don't know what the benefit is. And I promise you, if you don't do it every day, just do it for a week and you'll be converted.
I will tell you, I was terrible about this until I got, I saw somebody who had their desktop background was, I think you've seen mine.
Yours is fancy.
It has little like bookshelves, and you put the icons of your files on the shelves, and it just looks really cool and neat. But it's very clear when there's something out of place.
Yes.
And I see it. And right now I have 4 things that I took screenshots of that are sitting on my desktop and I'm like, I got to get rid of those. I got to get rid of those. They're out of place. They're wrong. They're not supposed to be there, right? But if it's just cluttered with all the other crap, I don't notice it. And it just you know, blends in. So.
And we share our screens so much now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the last 5 years, I think sharing screens has become just, I must do it at least once a day. And there's nothing like somebody seeing what's on your screen to make you think, what impression is that actually giving?
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing on our checklist is add your list. So hopefully you've been thinking about it. We've inspired some thoughts. What are your daily, weekly, monthly non-negotiables in your job? You want to put them on your checklist. And so we have another list to prime your pump of ideas. And we've kept them fairly generic so that they will apply to the maximum number of people.
Yeah, you could start with checking on project status, right? You've definitely got some projects that either you're running or you're a part of, or maybe you're kind of a fringe player on some of these projects. Always good to have a little, you know, primer to remind yourself, just check on how that thing is going. You could send status updates, right? Something, you know, that's a quick 2 minute red, yellow, green. Here's where we are. Here's where this is. And we talk about this all the time. Even saying there's no change is communication. So could be that. Could be checking customer interactions, right? Maybe you've got people who comment on things that you have out, you know, on the web, or maybe you have a forum. You know, we have forums on our website, and when we check that, we check those on a regular basis. Could be scheduling meetings. Could be as you go through and you look at that, you look at your calendar today in the next 5 days, and you go, hey, you know what? I don't have a meeting with Wendy, so I need to get something on the calendar for that. It could be entering data into a system.
That's one of those, if you leave it more than one day, the task mounts up tasks.
Yeah, absolutely. Could be checking statistics, right? Could be user statistics on your platform or your website. Could be statistics on who is accessing certain files that you know, post or you own. It could be prep items for meetings, right? Printing out agendas, getting agendas posted to meeting invites. Could be any of that. Practicing. You could want to practice on a skill that you're working on. Something simple could be a speech that you have to give and you just want to run through it. And it's much better to run through it on a daily basis rather than over an hour just going through it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Once daily is much better than five times on one day.
Absolutely. You could have something you need to write. If you're writing something that's longer and you want to break that down into chunks, like we talked about. So I'm going to write for 10 minutes a day rather than thinking that I can sit down and dedicate an hour or two to writing. Could be calls that you need to make, right? You need to call somebody and check up on this. Could be, you know, networking like we talked about. Maybe you have approvals. There's expenses you need to approve or travel you need to approve, stuff like that. You could easily make that part of your list.
And that's one of those things where there's often another system you have to go to and go and find the thing.
Absolutely. Could be checking that a procedure ran or was completed. Could be just checking a log, make sure there were no errors, and check your waiting for list. This harkens back to getting things done. And sometimes when you send something out and you're expecting a response, you should have a way to capture that you haven't gotten responses or you have gotten responses. And that's easy to just check up on that and say, who have I heard from? Who have I not heard from? Who am I waiting to hear back from?
Yeah. But again, there's no point in having a list if you don't check it on a regular basis.
Exactly.
This doesn't help you. So a daily non-negotiables checklist, which is used and where the tasks are each day, is what allows professionals to keep all the minutiae down and they keep on top of it and not drown. It's one of those tools that allows them to be the person who returns calls and answers emails, who's prepared for meetings and still somehow manages to get their strategic work done. If it's stupid, but it works, it's not stupid. It might sound stupid, but we promise you it works. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.